Kim Alamadayız?
Jim Malone with bass?
Bass on a bass, excuse me.
Okay, that's better. Thought I'd missed something there.
Yeah, so we saw in the Gemara asked a question. If the Mishnah says, Dine Momenus Beshloisha, then why would it need afterwards to say that Gezeles V'Chavoles are Beshloisha? Surely Gezeles V'Chavoles is, in fact, Dine Momenus. To which the Gemara answered, Mahein Ketoni. Meaning the Mishnah is coming to qualify that initial statement. The initial statement was that Dine Momenus is Beshloisha. So the Mishnah needs to tell you, Mahein, what is that particularly referring to? Don't make the mistake, the understandable mistake of thinking that Dine Momenus Beshloisha means every single case of Momenus. No. It only applies in gezeles v'chavoles, theft and damages, as opposed to what? As opposed to hoidois v'halvois, admissions and loans. So far, we saw the first Rashi. Let's see that first Rashi once again, and then move on to the second. The first Rashi on the Gemara says, Mahin ketoni, hai gezeles v'chavoles, Pirusha de Dine Momenasu. When the Mishnah gives us the examples of Gezeles, when he gives us the examples of Gezeles, when he gives the examples of Gezeles v'chavolois, that's an explanation of what it means, Dine Momenas. Because do not say, can you hear me by the way?
Yes.
Yeah, all clear. Do not make the mistake of thinking that all Dine Momenus are included in this opening statement of Dine Momenus Beshloisha. Because it's not true. We're actually coming to exclude halvois v'hoidois. Why are those different? Shehein boin al gemilas chasodim. We'll see more about this presently. They come based on an act of chesed. You lend somebody money as an act of chesed, and therefore there is the concern ve'ikar ne'ilas deles b'fnei loivin. Kedamrina lakamon, as we're going to say later on, we always have a concern. We would like to make it as easy as we possibly can for people to be able to borrow money. The more complicated the procedure in Beis Din is, the less likely that people are going to want to lend money. Therefore, we have to try and simplify it as much as we can. Hilkoch, therefore, ma'atinu. Therefore, that is excluded. The general rule of Dine Momenus Beshloisha does not refer to cases of halvois. The obvious question is, and Rashi refers to this, if the rule of Dine Momenus Beshloisha does not refer to hoidois and halvois, well then what is the rule in hoidois and halvois? How many dayonim do you need? Is that true that you don't need three, you only need two or one? We're only told in the Mishnah what does not apply, but it doesn't tell us what does apply. All you're telling me is that Dine Momenus Beshloisha does not refer to halvois. So what does it refer to? It refers to something else, namely Gezeles V'Chavoles. But the Mishnah has not told us, so what in fact is the halacha in Hoidois and halvois? Do you need less than three dayonim? Or do you still need three but different types of dayanim? We're not told. So Rashi says, well, the kamon mefarish, later on we will explain mimai ma'atinu. What exactly are they being excluded? What does that mean that the rule of Dine Momenus Beshloisha does not refer to that? Says Rashi now, more detail about the hoidoyos and valvoyos. This is now the next Rashi. We have not yet learned this. Shnehen al iske milve hein. Both of them are referring to matters of loans. Even hoidoyos is also connected to halvois. Why? Shebo lo hoidoyos, what is hoidoyos? Admissions. Shebo lodun be'ede hoido'o. Rashi says the scenario we're describing, we're referring to is where there are witnesses who testify there was an admission. Shemevi Edim, somebody brings Edim to Bezdin, Shoimrim, who say, Befoneinu hoide loy. So they come to Bezdin. So let's design a scenario. Reuven shows up in Bezdin. He brings with him two Edim, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim and Manasseh say, we hereby testify that this Reuven was standing with Shimon, and Shimon admitted that he borrowed money. Yes, we cannot testify to the actual loan. We didn't see that. It's true, there is no documentation. So how do we know the halva ever took place? The answer is because we overheard and we saw a conversation between Reuven and Shimon, in which Reuven said to Shimon, I lent you money, you owe me $1,000. And Shimon says, you're absolutely right. And now Shimon is refusing to pay. So Reuven brings Ephraim and Manasseh to Bezdin, and that's what it means, hoidoyes. So again, it's all referring back to Ahalvo. Says Rashi, that's the case of hoidoyes. And what is halvois? Shebo lodum, they're coming to judge, be'ede halva. There we're talking about Edim who actually saw the actual halva. Shemeidin, because they witness, they testify, beforeinu hilvehu. In front of us, he lent him money. Vahaloi, and the other one, koifer b'shteyem. The other one's denying it in both cases. Whether we're talking about a case where the witnesses say we saw him admitting to the loan, or the case where we actually saw the loan, either way, Shimon, the borrower, the alleged borrower, is denying it. Says Rashi, v'chihai lishna, this type of expression of hoidoyos, tuva ikka. We have many examples that hoidoyos, an admission, means an admission that there was a loan. Bahach mechilta, in a mechilta it says hoidoyo acha hoidoyo, halvo acha halvo mitstarfin, repere gimel, gabe edim zoymimin. We're going to leave the rest of the Rashi, because Rashi brings an alternative explanation, which Rashi says is not the correct one anyway. So, either way, according to Rashi, the way you've got to read the Mishnah is as follows. Dinei Momonos Bishloisha. Which particular Dinei Momonos? Not all. Only Gezelois, V'chavolois, theft and damage. However, if it is talking about different types of Dinei Momonos, i.e. an admission to a loan, or testimony about a loan, there, the rule is different. We don't know what the rule is, but the rule of Dinei Momonos B'Shloisha does not refer to that. So now let's go back into the Gemara. Remember, we asked a question yesterday. If you tell me a general rule, Dinei Momonos B'Shloisha, and then you qualify that rule and you say the rule only applies in two cases, i.e. gezelois v'chavolois, then why did you ever need to tell me the rule? Why did the Mishnah feel it necessary b'chlal to write those words, dini momonos b'shloisha, an all-encompassing rule, and then all of a sudden you've got to qualify that and say, well, no, it's not all-encompassing, it only refers to gezelois v'chavolois. Why could the Mishnah simply have not written Gezelois v'chavolois b'shloisha. And that's it. So this is the Gemara's question. Have a look at the Gemara. The first word on the line is hoidois. Let's just briefly read from the beginning of the Gemara once again. Otu gezelois v'chavolois lav dini mamonis ninhu? Question mark. Are gezelois v'chavolois not dini mamonis? Why are they being singled out? Omer Rabavo, Mahain Katoni. What's being stated is Mahain. What are they? What are the examples of Dine Mominus? Mahain Dine Mominus. What are the particular Dine Mominus that we are referring to? The answer is Gezelois Vechavolis. Avol Hidoyois Vechavolis Loi. But if it's admissions or loans, then those are not being referred to in that general rule of Dini Mominus Vishleisha. Says the Gemara, and this is where we're up to, Vitzricha. What does that mean, Vitzricha? It's indeed necessary to write both Dini Mominus Vishleisha and also Gezelois V'chavolois Vishleisha. Why is it necessary to write both? Says the Gemara, Vitzricha. De itana dine mominois. Because if you would have just written the general rule without the qualification, well, very obvious what the mistake would have been then. Hava min, I would have said, afilu hoidois v'halvois. I would have said, if you give me a general rule, I have every license to understand that that rule incorporates every single case. So if we understand very simply, of course, the Mishnah could not have written simply just a general rule. That's why Tana, first word on the line, Gezelois v'chavolois. That's why we needed that second part of the phrase to tell me that Gezelois v'chavolois is not subject to the rule. So why would it not suffice just to write that? Says the Gemara, Ve'i tana gezelois v'chavolois. If you would have written gezelois v'chavolois, v'loi ketani dine mominus, meaning if it would have just written the examples of gezelois v'chavolois, but it would not have written the general rule of dine mominus b'shloisha, Hava Amina, then I would have made a different mistake. What would I have said? I would have said, Hu Hadin Da'afilu Haidoyois V'Halvois. You know how I would have learned the Mishnah? I would have said, it's true that the Mishnah only spells out Gezelois V'Chavolois, but I would have assumed that it means Haidoyois V'Halvois as well. Now, why would I have assumed that? It seems a bizarre assumption. If the Mishnah was really referring to all four cases, why would it only write two? So the Gemara explains why. Says the Gemara, this is what I would have said. Hava min, I would have said, Hu adin dafilu hoidoyes v'halvoyes. I would have said, Hu adin even hoidoyes v'halvoyes. V'hai dektoni gezelois v'chavolois. And that which the Mishnah only states, Gezelois v'chavolois, I would have said, Mishum, the Iker. Mishum, the Iker Gimel, Dixivi, because the main principle of the magic number three. The Gezelois v'chavolois ksivi. In other words, this is a question that we have not really yet answered. We've discussed the magic number 71, the magic number 23. We've never actually worked out where does the magic number 3 come from. 71 and 23 we've worked out, but what about 3? So we're going to see in a moment where it's learned from. But it's actually learned from psukim that are written with regard to what? Gezelois and chavolis. Says the Gemara, therefore, I would have made a mistake if the Mishnah only would have written gezelos v'chavolos v'shloisha. What would I have said? That really it refers to everything, even hoidoyos and halvoyos. The reason why the Mishnah spelled it out only with regard to gezelos v'chavolos is because that is where the principle of three appears in the Torah. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah mentioned those examples, but it's not to the exclusion of the other cases. So we're going to see the Makoris in a moment, but now we understand why I need both the rule and the examples. If I only would have written the rule, Dine Mominus B'Shleisha, what would I have said? Dine Mominus B'Shleisha? That's a general rule, it applies in every case. So the Mishnah needs immediately to qualify that? No. Only gezeles v'chavolos, not halvoyes and hidoyes. If we would have written just gezeles v'chavolos, again, I would have said, actually, it refers to every case. Gezeles, chavolos, hidoyes, halvoyes. The reason why the Mishnah mentioned the examples of gezeles v'chavolos is because that is where we find the number three in the Torah. So that's why the Mishnah chose those examples, but it's not to the exclusion of the others. That's why I need the Mishnah to tell me that no. Dine Mominus B'Shleisha, Gezeles V'Chavolos B'Shleisha. Ah, you mean only Gezeles V'Chavolos, but not Hidoyos and Halvoyos.
I feel like the it's so overcomplicated to have so many qualifiers. The Gemara could just say, the Mishnah can just say Hidoyos V'Chavolos, but with three and...
Not three, Gezeles V'Chavolos.
Gezeles and Chavolos with three, and Hidoyos V'Chavolos, low.
Oh.
Like it's why do all these qualifiers to overcomplicate it?
Yeah, so the truth is, what you just said is no longer than what the Mishnah says. Gezeles v'chavolos b'shleisha, and you want the Mishnah to say, hoidoyes v'halvoyes loy. That's three extra words. The Mishnah says, dine mominus b'shleisha. You're saying it could have written more simply. So this is the big principle. The big principle we've discussed many times. It's not the job of the Mishnah to write things simply. It's a principle mentioned many times, especially in the Parashat Shir. Very often we can sit trying to work out a Mishnah. And we sometimes think to ourselves, what a shame that Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi, when he compiled the Mishnayos, why didn't he add a word or two of explanation here or there? We would have saved ourselves a lot of bother. Very often it's literally one word or two words missing from the Mishnah that triggers a whole lengthy debate in the Gemara as to what does the Mishnah mean. So why did Rabbi Yehuda not just add it? The answer is, a very, very fundamental answer, is that the Mishnayos essentially should never have been written down in the first place. Torah Shebaal Peh. The main omol HaTorah is in Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi, with his great Das Torah, understood that you have to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, otherwise it's going to be forgotten forever. So here comes a big problem. If you write down Torah Shebaal Peh, he writes down the Mishnayos, what's going to happen to Omol HaTorah? If it's all laid down, spelled out clearly for us, then where's our Milus B'Torah? So that's why, although on the one hand, he did write the halachas in the Mishnayos, but on the other hand, he deliberately left it on occasion vague. So that will necessarily require Omol HaTorah to understand the Mishnah. So you'll ask me, the Mishnah could have written it much more simply. Of course it could have written more simply, but then there wouldn't have been Omol HaTorah. Now, the Gemara has just told us that this principle of Dine Mominus B'Shleisha, the source of which is in Gezelos and Chavolos. Where is that? So the Gemara explains. Gemara says, Gezelos, where within the Parsha of Gezelos, does it say anything about three? Dixiv v'nikrav balabayis el ho'elohim. This is one of the occasions that you're allowed to read the word as Elohim, not as Elohim, because not a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bezdin are called Elohim. V'nikrav balabayis el ho'elohim. Now, where on earth do you see in that phrase anything about three Dayanim? So look at Rashi, towards the end of the narrow lines. V'nikra v'balabayis el ho'elohim. The balabayis will approach v'nikra, he will draw himself near to the Bezdin. Says Rashi, midiksiv b'parsha Elohim gimel zimni. The drasha is not from the words. The drasha is from the amount of times that this word is written. How many times does it say the word Elohim in that parasha? Says Rashi, three times. Nafgalom. From that we derive deboyinon shloisha, that we require three, because it says Elohim three times. Vahaikro ksiv b'shem echinom. This pasuk, in which Elohim is in fact written three times, is written with regard to a Shem Echinam. What is a Shem Echinam? An unpaid guard. So what was the case? V'zeh toyanoi. He claims, meaning the owner of the item that was deposited, claims she'sholach yod b'pikdoinoi, that he misappropriated his pikodon. I deposited with you my golden watch before I went on vacation, and I claim that you've misappropriated it. Where is it? What's happened to it? Where's it gone? That is the context in which the word v'nikra balabayis Elohim is written three times. Says Rashi, dahainu gezelos. That is a case of gezel. So it's true that within the framework of Gezelos, you see quite clearly that you need three Dayanim. How do you see that? Because the word Elohim is written three times. How do you see this magic number three with regard to Chavolos? So look back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Chavolos. How do I know that the principle of three applies to Chavolos as well? Because ma li choval begufoi, ma li choval bememoinoi. Because theft is really also a type of damage. I can either damage your property, your money, or I can damage your goof. If I inflict damage, which we call injury, the Gemara, that basically that's a type of theft. Theft is a type of damage. So if the Torah tells us that with regard to theft you need three Dayanim, then essentially the Torah is telling us so too in all cases of damages, whether physical or financial. Says Rashi, Mali choval b'mamoinoi mimash mashene mashloisha. Once you've taught me the magic number three, with regard to damages, financial damages, so I can clearly extrapolate, says Rashi, so surely incorporated in that is also damages to the goof. What's the difference whether it's financial damages or physical damages? Hilkoch, therefore, bahonami ksibbe. Therefore, it is as if the number three has been written not only clearly with regard to theft, but also with regard to damages. Therefore, if the Mishnah wouldn't have added those extra words of Dine Momenes B'Shloisha, says Rashi, on the first white line, Hava Amina, I would have thought, Hanach, these two cases of Gezelois and Chavolois, do you know why they are singled out in the Mishnah? Mishum de Begavayu Kosa, because it is with them that the magic number three is written. Therefore, Nokat Luhu, that's why the Mishnah mentioned those two cases, but really it applies in every case. Ula Oilon, but essentially, Hu Hadin Ledine Milva. But maybe really the number three applies to all cases. The reason why we only mentioned two is because that's where we actually find the number three. Lahachi Tana Dine Mamnas. So that's why Mishnah had to introduce with the principle of Dine Mamnas and then explain Uma Hein Dine Mamnas. What are they? Gezelois v'chavolois. But Lemi Ute Hoidoyes v'halvois. How do I know it's Lemi Ute? Dim Kein, because if you're really going to claim the Kulon b'mashma, if you're really going to say that Dine Mamnas applies to everything, then Kiven the Tana Dine Mamnas Nishtik. Once you told me the principle of Dine Mamnas Nishtik, let's remain silent and add nothing more. By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah did not remain silent, and the Mishnah added those words, Gezeles v'chavoles, so clearly what's being taught is it only applies to the case of Gezeles v'chavoles. That's where you need three Dayanim. But with regard to Hoidoyes v'halvois, the rule is different. We don't know what it is, but we know what it isn't. The regular rule of Dine Mamanas B'Shloisha does not apply in the case of Hoidoyes v'halvois. Now, says the Gemara, Tana, Mahein Dine Momenes, Gezelois v'chavolois, Avol Hoidoyois v'halvoyois, Loi. Now we reach the big question. As we've asked a number of times, yes, we know that Dine Momenes b'shloisha does not apply in the case of Hoidoyes v'halvoyes. So what is the rule? What is the rule? I know what the rule is not, but I don't know what it is. Says the Gemara, one word question. Ulamai. What does that mean, ulamai? With regard to what are they excluded? You're telling me the hoidoyes v'halvoyes are excluded from the rule. Okay, with regard to what? That I don't need three dayanim, I only need two, or I only need one, or I need something else, or what do you mean they're excluded? The regular rule doesn't apply, but what does? That's the Gemara's question. Ulamai. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains on that fifth wide line. Ulamai hilchasa. With regard to which halacha shairinu tana ledine milva, did the tana leave over the halachas of halva lemeatune mai to exclude what? What does halvois and haidoyois not require? So in the case of gezelois v'chavolois, dine momenes b'shloisha, three dayanim are required. And you are delicately hinting to me in the Mishnah that Hoidoyes and Alvois does not require that. What does it not require? That's the Gemara's question. So, the simplest way of understanding would, of course, be what? That I don't need three Dayanim. Surely that would be the simplest way of understanding the Mishnah. Dine Mamanas B'Shloisha, but not always. When does Dine Mamanas need three in the case of Gezelois V'Chavolois? But Hoidoyes V'Halvoyes would not require three. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't need three Dayanim. And that's how the Gemara begins. Says the Gemara, Ilema. If you're going to tell me the loy boyin on shloisha, is that what you're coming to teach me? That haidoyos and halvoyos do not require three dayanim, and only in the case of gezelos v'chavolos are three required, to the exclusion of haidoyos v'halvoyos, where three are not required. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you, that can't be true. Ilema, if you're going to suggest deloi bo'inon shloisha, that I do not require three dayanim, the ha'omar Rabbi Avo, but surely Rabbi Avo said, shnayim shedonu dinei momenes, if just two judges judged dinei momenes, the divrei hakoil, everybody would agree, ein dineihem din, that is not considered a judgment at all. Ah, so we're stuck. You're telling me now that we have a Gemara elsewhere that says that all financial arguments, if you don't have three dayanim, then that's not called a din. That wasn't a judgment. That's not called bezdin paskan anything. Well, if that's the case, then we're seriously stuck. You're telling me that there's a differentiation between gezelos v'chavolos that require three dayanim, as opposed to hoidoyos v'halvois, where the halacha is different. What do you mean it's different? Well, I don't need three. But you always need three. How do I know you always need three? Because that was Rabbi Avohu's statement. Rabbi Avohu's sweeping statement was that wherever you have dinei mamonos, it makes no difference what the circumstances are. If you have less than three dayanim, then that's not considered a din. So therefore, we're back to square one. We still don't understand, what does that mean, the hoidoyos and halvoyos is an exception to the rule of dinei mamonos b'shloisha? How is it an exception? That I don't need three dayanim? I jolly well do need three dayanim. So in what way are they different? Now, we have to press pause over here. And we'll have to resume tomorrow. But by way of introduction, the Gemara is going to bring up a bit of a tricky principle. So just for a moment or two, I just want to explain a little bit what this principle is. And this will help us understand the Gemara later on. It's very, 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 very advisable. When you look at that next Gemara in preparation for tomorrow's shir, look up a Chumash, have a Chumash open in front of you. We have a principle, and it's called Iruv Parshios. You'll see the Gemara brings this in the next line. Iruv Parshios means, Iruv means mixed up, like the word Tarovus, like Makas Oroiv, mixed up all the animals together. We have a principle, it's a rather interesting principle, that on occasion we will have a parasha in the Chumash, and in the middle of that parasha you find a particular pasuk, and the pasuk has no place in that parasha. For some odd circumstance, for some reasons that we might not understand, this pasuk is written in parasha A, but it's actually referring to parasha B. That's called Iruv Parashios. The parashas have been mixed up. So if that's the case, bear that in mind. You'll see there's a very, very lengthy Rashi. What we're going to be discussing tomorrow is not the number three. You always need three, as we've just seen. So that cannot be the differentiation between gezeles v'chavoles on the one hand, hoidoyes v'halvoyes on the other. Rather, there's another factor, And we're now bringing a brand new factor to the table, and that's called mumchin.
Is this better?
A mumcha.
Okay, I'm closer to my router. Okay.
What's a mumcha? There are different...
Okay, I saw Dr. Callum.
A mumcha is an expert dayan. Obviously, every dayan has to have some minimal qualification. But you can have an ordinary dayan and an expert dayan, a mumcha of a judge. The Gemara is going to suggest that is the difference between gezeilos v'chavolos and oidoyos v'halvois. It's not whether you need three or not, you always need three. The difference is going to be the standard of judges required, whether you need a mumcha or you don't need a mumcha. And that's going to be based on this principle called Iruv Parashios. Have a look at that very lengthy Rashi. Have a Chumash open in front of you, and Amit Hashem will learn this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, have a good day, everybody.
Thanks.